All right, 5, 4, 3, 2. All right, guys, welcome to the Media Hijack Podcast. I'm your host, Billy Walters, and joining me is Chris Unholy Jesus. Yeah.
What's good, fam? Happy Saturday. I was about to say Friday. Happy Saturday.
Happy Friday, Saturday. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Media Hijack. This is episode 176. Before we start, if you guys want to get some official Media Hijack t-shirts, I don't know if Chris got one on, but you guys can head over to the mediahijack.com. Oh, yeah, he doesn't have one on. Head over to the mediahijack.com. Grab you some official t-shirts. And then if you guys want to catch the live Twitch video, you can head over to our YouTube to catch the replay. Also, if you guys want to catch us live, we're here every Saturday at 6 o'clock Eastern time. So you can catch the show live and be a part of the chat and say whatever you guys want to say. And then don't forget to rate, comment, subscribe, give us that 5-star frog splash. And yes, that's all we ask for.
Yes, please.
Yes, you guys can also sell your soul on our Patreon.
For real, man. Just
give them that soul.
Just one click.
Imagine that, right? There's a website with like, hey, you guys want to sell your soul? Click here.
For like 6 months.
Imagine that's like in some fine print of like an app you download, but you never read it. And then in fine print says, sell your soul.
Oh, man.
Like TikTok.
Pretty sure we've all did that at some point.
It's like, we got it. Got another million.
And they sold their soul again.
There we go. Got them. All right. So tonight's main topic, we're going to be talking about Project Serpo. And then, Chris, you got any topics? Because I don't know how long this is going to take.
It'll be too long. I got, did we talk about Lake Lanier last week in the water park they're building?
No, not last week.
Okay, we're going to talk about that tonight then. Because I think I had it for last week, but I never got to it.
Another Lake Lanier story.
They building a water park there. What?
Yo, speaking of Lake Lanier, Bob sent me an article today about a guy who got chased by the cops, right? And he jumped to the Lake Lanier lake, and then he swam. But then he made it out, and they got his ass.
Shit.
I was like, damn, Lake Lanier getting soft.
Right, y'all gonna let him run?
Like, old soft hell? Body of water.
Right, maybe he was sleep. Maybe he was sleeping, man.
They're like, hey. And then I told Bob, I was like, yeah, it's getting soft. And then she's like, I think the lake only takes innocent people. I'm like, damn. Is there rules when it comes to like?
Was the guy swimming black?
No, I think he is like an escaped convict or some shit. He was white.
Was he like black?
No,
white
dude. He was white.
Wow, okay, because I was like, maybe it only takes white people. But no, I think he killed a black person last year. Wow, man.
Yeah, I didn't think it discriminate, you know, or...
I don't know, man. That place got ancestral power. It got this going on in there, man. I think if
you're alive, you can get it.
Anybody can get in that water.
Anybody can get it.
Mm-mm-mm.
But he was lucky.
Yes, I was going to talk about that. And I was going to talk about this damn cannibal that they caught walking down the street in California eating a body part.
Jesus.
And there's a video. And, of course, your boy saw it for the content.
Oh, my God.
Now, you know me. You know me. You know how I get with this internet video shit.
I'm glad it didn't fed onto, like, my algorithms yet. Because I was scrolling to, like, Instagram. And I thought my algorithm got messed up. But then I thought I was going to see a beheading, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, the dude wearing the mask, and he was holding the girl's head, right? And then what? I was like, oh, shit. I was like, am I about to see her head go? I was going to scroll, but then a part of me was like, just wait to cut a little, then scroll, you know? Because I didn't want to watch it, but then a part of me was curious. And then he got a toothbrush out and started brushing her teeth.
And you're like, oh,
I was like, thank God. I was like, thank God.
Yeah, my algorithm, especially going on my Twitter shit, boy. I feel like I see people die every day on Twitter. It's out of control.
Jesus,
man.
That's wild. Wow. Let me just take a quick break, real quick.
Right.
All right, and we're back. All right, let's get started on this main topic. All right, so Project Serpo. All right, so this project, it was a top secret exchange program between the U.S. government and ET civilization. Does that sound crazy?
Already.
So if this project was real, it was the U.S. working hand in hand with the alien race from another civilization. Mm. And they said that this happened after the Roswell incident in 1947, where the U.S. government, they recovered a crash alien spacecraft. And we all remember this Roswell case, right? It was a huge thing. Legendary. Everybody in town saw it.
Legendary.
Boy. Yeah, it was legendary. And the government said it was like a, you know, like a weather balloon. And then that closed out that. And the public's like, oh, okay, weather balloon. Great. It wasn't no alien spacecraft. Get out of here. Right? So in this exchange program in 1965, 12 astronauts were sent to an alien planet as a part of a human-alien exchange program. And then 13 years later, the astronauts returned home. So it was it was a 13-year-long project.
Oh man, it's like Interstellar. Like was his daughter Marv? I gotta.
Yeah. So I gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta see you when you're old.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Oh, hell no.
So the American astronauts, they were sent to a planet called Serpo in the Zeta Reticuli star system, which is like 40 light years away, super far. And they traveled, these astronauts, they traveled aboard an alien spacecraft that was provided by the ET beings.
Mm-hmm.
This exchange that they said was supposed to last several years, during which the American astronauts, they lived among the inhabitants of the Serpo, and they would exchange knowledge with them. So the mission commander, he wrote like a 3,000-page report on everything that the team experienced from the first contact to the 40 light year trip to everything that they saw in the alien world and everything that happened like on their planet. So this dude wrote like a whole 3,000-page journal just to document everything and then, you know, give it back to the US government after they learned all this stuff.
Yeah.
So let's take this back. Go ahead.
As I do, like, dear diary, today I talked to my first alien. Like, mm-hmm. Damn, they documented all that.
Guess what I saw today? A cloning lab.
Uh-oh. No cloning
they
lab.
They took our boy.
My first cloning lab experience.
Yep. All right, so the beginning, his name, Colonel McKeever, he's in the United States Air Force. He arrived at Fort Leavenworth. Like he was excited, but this is when they recruited him for this special project, and they didn't give him like much information, but he was excited because they're like out of like hundreds of candidates, right? And they picked him, and they told him that this is going to be the most important space mission in history of all human race. That's what they told him.
Yeah.
So imagine hearing that, right? You're already like excited, like holy shit, they picked me out of all these hundreds of people for the most important space, you know, mission in human race,
right? And out of every man out there, you pick me. What did they talk about? What did they base that off of? Like, was it like you're the bravest man we know that can do it, or like you got specific skill set? Or
I'm pretty sure like he's just checked off everything. Like as far as like his mental is good, his physique is good. He knows how to follow instructions. He's a team player, or you know, all that is in, and you know they got picked from their commanders or whatever, like, all right, I think this guy is the most qualified to do any mission that you guys would present to him.
Right.
And so they took him to like this elevator, and then they took him down several stories down underground. And then when the door opened up, there was a young man that was waiting for him. He said that he noticed his badge. It said Air Force Office of Special Investigation. So as far as like Colonel McKeever knew, he said OSI was a law enforcement agency.
Yeah, they're like the FBI of the Air Force. Yeah. I used to know some people and some friends that worked in that shit.
They got that special secret clearance.
Yeah, they secret.
Like, we can't talk to you right now, Chris.
You can't talk to you, normie. You're just a regular Air Force. Because, like, some of the people I know that was OSI, actually, one was my supervisor, too. He went to OSI. Started off kind of involved in the program, and eventually they'd be like, they were still Air Force, but then it became a separate part of the Air Force because it's like they did investigations on Air Force crimes and stuff like that. Or like there's a guy I used to work with who got in trouble for going downtown Denver posing as an OSI agent. He would get on the Amtrak type train, and he would harass people. He'd be like, because I was a cop in the military, so we did have like a type of badge type thing. He would put his badge from his job in his wallet and flash it downtown, so he was OSI agent. Pretending he was like, and OSI found out about it. They locked his ass up.
What they call that? Crazy. Like false valor or some shit like that?
Yeah, impersonating an officer.
A poser.
Yeah, he was that too. Fucking poser. But yeah, no, OSI is like legit shit, man. They need some real people. They do real shit.
So McKeever, like, he entered the briefing room, which he said looks like a classroom, and there were like 11 people that was already seated, and he saw two Army uniforms, two Navy, and the rest were Air Force. Colonel said the group, the guy that was teaching the class, he said, "What I'm about to show you is classified beyond top secret." He says, "There are fewer than 60 people in the world who knows about this information." He says, "If you repeat what you learn here today, you'll be charged with treason." Treason. That's how you say it, right? Treason.
There you go. Sound it out, baby.
Yeah, treason. Treason. Yeah, so it's like, what you see here, you better keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, you better open.
Yeah, you better be quiet. Kill your wife. All right, so the footage they showed is what appears to be like a desert at night. Like, he said it was kind of hard to tell, though, but he says like the footage seemed to be about 20 years old. And then when they showed the title of the video, it says Roswell, New Mexico, 1947, first contact. So like this year right now, it's around 1965. So the video they're watching was from 1947. He said the film lasted about an hour. And then while everybody's watching it, he said, if you look at everybody's faces, they look stunned. They're like, what the hell is this? Is this real life?
What?
So the film explained that the UFO crash in Roswell, it did happen, though technically the crash was in Corona, New Mexico. It wasn't in Roswell. And then he said 2 years later in 1949, another UFO crashed nearby. And he was like, oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was just Roswell. So, like, also in the film, he saw, like, an alien hiding behind a rock. These are, like, 4 feet tall aliens. He's like, what the hell? There's, like, an alien hiding behind a rock? He says they're short. Yeah. Like, hello. He's like, no, fam. You're about to get fucking shanked.
All right, little man.
Put you in a chokehold. So, he said they're short, pale skin, large head with huge black eyes. Small nose, a small mouth. The military called this creature extraterrestrial biological entity 1, or EVA 1, which is the lone survivor of the crash. Because 5 of the other alien bodies they were taken away.
Yeah, I always heard that either they found, was one of them dead too in Roswell or?
Well, 5 of them were dead, founding on site. 5 were dead, and 1 was alive.
Okay, yeah, because I remember hearing that before that. They found that is a sole survivor, yeah.
Yeah, they named him EVA 1. So he was taken to the Air Force facility in Los Alamos, and according to, like, the briefing, he stayed there until his death in 1952. So the Air Force, they learned a lot of stuff from EVA 1 in those 5 years before he passed away. And then they said they're, at that those 5 years, that alien, he was trying to communicate with his people on his planet Serpil. And, you know, the government was trying to help him build a communication thing to get it to work before he died and stuff. Because, you know, they're trying to imagine, like, contact in a civilization that's 40 light years away with a communication device. That's some breakthrough technology, man.
Hell yeah.
Just us calling somebody in Japan is crazy. But imagine calling someone 40 light years away. That's mind blowing. Like,
that shit. Because you think about that distance, how long would it take to get that signal to come back? It's like, that shit is revolutionary.
Yeah, like,
all right, we send out a So I think, like, even now, they'll send, like, radio signals out to space. They'll be like, all right, we send a radio signal out. We'll hear about 5 years, we'll get that signal back. I'm like, what?
I know, right?
We need something, like, right now.
Yeah, we need the email ASAP right now.
Right.
So, like, they learned a lot from that alien. They said their language is comprised of tones and not words. So it's more of tones. Like, oh, sway boo. But through hand gestures and repetition, Eva One was able to communicate. He said that his race, which the military called Ebens, this is what they call them, Ebens. They said they'd have been visiting our planet Earth for over 2,000 years. And he says their home planet, which is Serpo, was in the Zeta Reticuli system, 40 light years away from Earth. The Ebens, they used the wormhole technology to travel and send the messages back and forth. So this was the way they were using how to communicate. They were communicating through wormholes. And this is the way they traveled, also using wormholes.
Makes sense. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's like there's a lot of detail in this. So, like, he died in 1952, 5 years later. And the Air Force, they tried, but they were unable to reverse engineer the alien technology. But then they did have a working communicator. So the Air Force, they kept on sending messages for years and years. And then, you know, it paid off. Eventually, they got a reply. And they were able to have a two-way communication between Earth and Serpo for a long time. They were communicating with the Ebens. And then, like, the Ebens, they end up learning, like, our language. But it was broken English, but we can understand it.
Right, right.
But they eventually learn how to talk, like, in English. So, like, after the Ebens, they learned about the crash. So this is when they found out, like, oh, shit, we didn't know, like, one of our spaceships crashed there. The Ebens, they're like, hey, could we get our crew's body back so they could perform, like, you know, whatever ritual? Like, hey, can we get our alien bodies back? Like, thank you guys for calling us and telling us. Like, can we get it back? And, you know, like, the military being the military, they're like,
yeah.
It's like, well, we can, but we want something in exchange. And then Ebens like, what do you guys want? It's like, we want your technology. It's like, come on. It's like, your planet is not ready for the technology that we have. Like, no, like, you guys are going to destroy yourself so fast.
He was like, now ask a real question.
Yeah, Ebens like, no, what else you want? No, we're not going to give you our technology because you guys would destroy yourself and we're going to get in trouble.
Because this is what, in the 40s? Yeah, y'all already built a fucking nuke.
Yeah. Like, no, you guys bad. So the Ebens, they suggested a compromise. They told the military, like, if they give us our alien crew back, in exchange, we would come to Earth. We would send one person to come to Earth to assist your U.S. Army. And then you guys can have 12 humans that could spend 10 years on planet Serpo. And this became known as Project Serpo, though the actual name is called Project Crystal Knight. So,
oh, that sounds badass.
Yeah. So they said, hey, you guys can have one person. We're going to send one person to assist your military, whatever you guys want to do. And then, like, you guys can send a crew of 12 people to our planet and learn whatever you guys want to learn. I was like, damn, that's a good deal, right?
It's a nice trade-off.
But imagine, like learning that you're a part of that 12-person crew to travel 40 light years away to an alien planet just to learn how they roll out there, what tech they got.
What you said, 13 years?
Yeah, 13 years? It was 10 years, but total was 13 years because they say they didn't know how time worked, so it ended up becoming 13 years.
Man, that's like, yo, man, Interstellar trippy, man. Everything, like when it was on that planet with water, it was like every hour is like 7 years.
And yeah, it's like, wow. Like, oh shit, we're like late by 3 years.
That's crazy.
All right, so the Ebens, they returned to Earth in 1964 to retrieve those alien bodies that they said they were going to give them back. And then this happened at the Hollow Men Air Force Base in New Mexico. And there's actually footage of this, and I'm going to show you guys right now.
Yay.
All right, here we go. April 19th. Oh. This is the supposed image of them about the land. Yeah, well, that was all the video that we got, but clearly that's like a UFO. We didn't see the landing or not, but it's an old video, 1967 or 1964, and they said that was the video of them coming here to pick up the bodies.
Damn, like a little Tic Tac.
Yeah, like a little Tic Tac, like the stuff you see nowadays.
I wonder what type of burial stuff they do with the bodies, like.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think they bury them. They do more stuff, you know, to use the body to the full extent.
every piece of it.
Every piece. All right, so about a year later, in July of 1965, the team traveled to Groom Lake near Area 51 for the landing. This is around 6 a.m. So the EBEM ship, it landed. So several EBEMs came out to meet the team of the 12. The team of 12 and about 16 military officials. The human team were allowed to bring whatever they needed for their stay on the planet, and they end up bringing over 40 tons of gear, including 10 motorcycles, 3 jeeps, and everything that they used to load their spaceship. They use it. They use like an anti-gravity technology.
No, they know
like the jeeps, the whatever they need, all their equipment, 40 tons of equipment. This was all written in his little journal.
Damn.
So, he also wrote that when they went in there, like, the shuttle base ceiling was about 100 feet high. So, like, what we saw, like, there, like, the little tiny spaceship, it looked tiny, but I don't know. I think they brought the whole mothership, but I don't think they mentioned that, because he's saying that there's the 100 feet high ceilings. He says, like, the place was so big, they couldn't even walk around the whole place. And they didn't even allow them to walk around the whole place. But he said it was huge.
And that's the thing that just landed?
I don't think that's the thing, but I think that's the thing that came out from the main ship.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So, like, it came down, picked them up, took them to the mothership above or wherever it's at. And then they left. And then
it's like the mothership, like, it stayed on top, like it didn't land, but they came out just to talk to them, like, hey, you can pack all your shit up there. We got this technology. We can pick it up real easy. Boop boop boop, done. But they came down just to talk to them.
The mainland's like, look, we ain't supposed to be here anyway, so we can't be here long. So hurry up, get your shit, put it on the real ship. Mm-hmm. We can't bring the mothership down here. We're gonna be too loud.
Yep,
draw too much attention.
So, like, the human team, they were escorted to an area where they will be spending the next 270 days, which is, like, 10 months. Mm-hmm. So, it takes them 10 months to travel from Earth to their planet, Serpo, 40 light years away, using, mm-hmm. like, I guess, wormhole technology also. Like, even with wormhole, like, it's still going to take a good minute to get there, because that's 40 light years? That's ridiculous. But they shortened it down to 10 months.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, look how long it takes us to go to Mars.
But what was it, like 4 years or some shit? Something fucking dumb. That's depending on where it's at.
I thought it was like 6 months or something. Well, I don't know.
Well, I'm thinking I might be wrong about Mars. I thought I heard 4 years at one time, but I think it might have been based off of where it's at in the galaxy, the star system at the time. Sometimes it might be closer to us. And then sometimes it might be further away, so it might be, I don't know. So 6 months, I mean, that's good. Shit.
Yep. So these guys, when they're in the spaceship, they were assigned small pods with a single chair, no seat belt, no harness. McKeever, he was saying he was surprised that they had like the gravity was consistent. Like, he thought they were going to be floating around, but they had like legit gravity. They're just walking like normal. He said the journey was difficult. The human team spent like a large part of the 10 months like sick. They would always be like sick and dizzy, sometimes physically ill. So during like one part of the journey, they gave the humans like a cloudy liquid to drink. They said it tasted like chalk, and they gave them a cookie or like a biscuit that had no taste at all. But when they ate it, they said they felt better almost instantly. So I'm like, okay, they got magic.
Like a senzu bean.
Like a senzu bean.
Oh, that's awesome. Like a senzu cookie.
So during like this whole 10-month thing, right, one of the pilot team members, like they call them 308, like they call everybody by numbers now. They don't call by name because it's like a, you know, it's a special secret project. Everybody's a number now. Yeah. So team member 308, he happened to disappear. And then they went to go talk to one of the Ibims. They're like, hey, what happened to one of our members? And then they said, Earthman, not alive. So then, like, not long after that, right?
He did.
Yeah. They're like, you better show me his body or we're gonna have a fight. Because they brought weapons there. Like, they have guns and stuff on board. They're like, no, don't bring your guns. Like, we're putting, like, the body in quarantine right now. They're trying to figure out what exactly happened to the body, like, how he died. So then they even brought, because they have doctors. Like, the astronaut has two doctors to investigate. And then he died from, like, I think they said embolism. I don't even know what that is. You know what that is?
I think it's like a blood in the brain, maybe? Embolism? This is like some brain shit.
Okay.
So embolism.
That's what he died for.
I'll let you continue. I'll look at it while you keep talking.
All right. Yeah. So it's, I guess, something natural. I don't think the Ibims were killing people. All right. So they arrived at the planet. 6 hours later, the pod, it opens up. But then the door, they saw, like, it was bright-ass light. And then the first thing they felt was, like, the heat of the planet. They said, this planet's hot. It was, like, over, like, 100 degrees, like, when they got there. They're like, damn, like, how are we going to survive here, you know?
I got the embolism thing.
Oh, what is it?
So embolism is like a blood clot in the artery.
Oh.
That
sounds bad. Yeah, blood clot.
Yeah, it sounds natural. It says like it could be contributed to cancer sometimes, but yeah, it sounds normal. It sounds like a normal human thing.
Yeah.
Not normal, but you know what I'm saying? It ain't alien related, you know?
Mm-hmm. Just rolled out bed, said, yes, blood clot. You blood clot. Yeah.
Blood clot.
That's a crazy cuss word, huh? So McKeever,
it really is.
Yeah. So McKeever, right? When he saw that planet for the first time, he said it looks like Arizona or New Mexico, but he says one of the only major differences is there's two suns in the sky.
Oh.
So McKeever, right? He took several thousand photographs, and he got film, but unfortunately, like none of it has been leaked. Except for one photo, which is the two suns that he caught, and I got a picture of that leaked photo. Supposedly, this is like the picture that he took when he was on planet Serpil. Let me find it real quick. All right, here it is. So this is the photo he took on that planet.
Like Tatooine.
Yeah, like one's like little cloud grazed.
You said like the place looked like we said Arizona. What
yeah,
else?
Arizona or New Mexico. That's what he was describing it.
It's wild because scientists have been saying for the longest where they say like Mars, how Mars is, and how Arizona looks. They say Arizona looks is actually like how the desert region of Arizona is. They say it's actually very similar to how Mars is. I'm like, man, like that's why I say like Arizona's like a very, as far as like geographic wise, it's almost otherworldly because it's not like any other desert on the planet. It's like a desert if it was on another planet type desert.
Right.
So when you say like it's like, oh, it's more like Arizona, New Mexico, it's like, yeah. And I was like, that kind of goes on par with what they say about what Mars, where it's very like the Arizona. And actually, when I drove through New Mexico when I was coming across country to move here, it's like another planet. It's like another planet, man. It's weird type desert. It's not like Utah desert. To me, it's not. It's a different type of desert.
It's like a different planet, like you said, huh?
Yeah, it feels weird, man. It's something awful. I don't know if it's like the grain or the sand or the dirt or whatever. It seems different.
Imagine like that particular space is actually, it really is another planet. But it's just like
a piece of another planet.
Yeah, like a A portal? I don't know. What video's gone?
Yeah, what video's gone?
Yeah, that makes some sense. But where was I?
Oh, so there's on the planet, dude died from the brain clot, the blood clot.
Yeah, he died from the blood clot. And then the Ibums, they were able like to calm him down and said, hey, we're going to give him proper burial on the Serpo planet. And, you know, it's 12 astronaut going against like 650,000 people that lived in their community. There's you can't argue with them really, because it's only 12 of you and you're on a whole different territory now.
Man, for real, be careful.
Yeah, it's like tread lightly. Like, you're a guest on our planet. Like, you what demands you got? Who's gonna protect you? Like, we brought you here. You think your people can come here?
Man, they were like what astronaut? Like, somebody died.
Well, what, you gonna call your government? They don't even have the technology to come over here.
What government?
Who brought you again? Say my name.
We are your ride back. They can't come get you.
Sorry. Talking like robots.
Right?
He's like, I heard that. I ain't no robot.
Beep, boop, beep, boop.
All right, so the human team, they were escorted through to a village where they will be staying. And for a technologically advanced species, the way that the Ibums, they live, it appears like they're somewhat primitive. So even though they had this advanced technology to travel between stars and stuff, like the way they live is like primitive people, like people in like a jungle village. That's how he described how they were living. And if you ever watched the show Stargate, SG-1, in one of the episodes, they went to this advanced planet, right? And it looks like jungle people, but they had like such advanced technology where they had like a whole mothership that was cloaked out and super advanced technology. But the way they live was like normal jungle people. I was like, oh shit. I was like, that makes sense.
That does make sense. At least like from how I'm thinking is like, okay, you live off the land and they're probably happier that way. Cause I feel like technology and the source, even though it gives us a lot of knowledge and at least on Earth, I'm speaking on earthly, for as far as Earth is, how we're able to communicate with each other, share each other's information, learn about different cultures. Where there's probably it's only them, so they don't really need no type of internet or anything. So live off the Earth, survive, and the technology would be strictly for interstellar travel. Like, it's not gonna be building TVs and shit. Like, we're gonna be a community and live off the land. But it might be happier that way. You know what I'm saying? I guess that's the point I'm getting to. Just use technology for necessities, not as
all their shit.
I'm saying because if technology goes out, then for example, if humanity internet crash right now, we are fucked.
We're fucked.
You know, because we rely so much on it. Where if you don't rely so much on it. If you don't have it, well, how much will it hurt you as a people? And
Companies would be crashing. Like, you can't even check out no more. Like, dude, what are you gonna pay by credit card?
Right.
Apple Pay? Nope, none of that works no more. Like, man, everything.
We're going back to gold coins.
Amazon goes down. Like, Amazon can't work without the internet, right? All their shit's it's in servers.
It is the new. It's literally like a vein of all humanity now. Like, you cut that shit off, we dead.
I mean, AI, they got the power now.
They got the keys.
They got us by the balls. But it's our fault. We gave in.
Right.
It's so convenient.
But MEF, right? For real, it was too convenient, man. It's almost a damn. Yeah, I'm gonna allow them access to all my shit, and now y'all click on these cookies, and we done give up all our shit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can see where. It makes sense for them to survive off the land, jungle, and the technology will only be for travel. That's it.
Yeah, like as a species, like we are advanced, but the majority of people that, you know, that are normal, we can't even tell you how a plane works. We can't even tell you how our phone works. So if an alien came down here and be like, hey, tell us how your technology works, be like, the fuck? I don't know. I just use it.
I'm still trying to understand magnets.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I failed math and everything. Like, I don't know how this fucking phone works.
I don't even know why I'm here right now. Like,
Alien's like, what the hell? Who kind of civilization like this? Like, you guys don't even know how your shit works? Like, I don't know. They just make it and, you know, they called me stupid.
I got the cell phone. I can watch boobies on it, but I don't know what else to do with it.
But yeah, I just live here. You know, I don't know what's going on.
He said, I just live here. I just use the shit.
The wrong guy. I'm an alien too. Like, I don't know. I just use the technology. All right, so there's about 650,000 people on their planet who live in small communities. So at the center of each community is a large tower about 300 feet high. On top of the tower is what looks like a mirror. The humans learned that this tower is how the Ibams, they use this to tell time. This was a difficult adjustment for them because the days on that planet is 40 hours long, not 24 hours because of the two suns.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, they had to get used to that. They said it was something hard, so hard to get used to. Like, like the sun being out for 40 hours. That's a bit much.
It's got to be exhausting. Shit. Uh-huh. Anything more than 12, I'm getting tired. I don't know. Okay, this is half the day now. Shit.
Right. So now that they finally arrived on the planet, McKeever, he requested the body of the team member 308 so they can give him a proper burial at the planet. Mm-hmm. And McKeever's like, give us our man or we'll take him by force because they wasn't trying to give him up. So the Ibam, they jump in. They says, hey, like, we can't do that. Well, we can't. Give you his body, and the reason why they can't give him his body is because they're already using his body for parts for this like a hybrid program that they already have. Like, they took him to an area on their planet where they take different species, they take different parts of their body, and then they create new species out of it, like creating like pretty much hideous monsters. And they're like, what the fuck you did to our dude?
Like a Franken alien.
Yeah, they create like these hybrids, human hybrids mixed with other animals, and they did that to their boy. And they're like, hey, like, you guys didn't even ask us like permission to do that. Even like, what are you guys gonna do about it? You guys gonna fight us? Like, what?
Some bully shit.
They didn't say like that, but they're like, hey, what else? The body is dead. Like, what do you want? What else you want? Right. So like the Ibams, they eventually came like to like a like an agreement. They're like, yeah, we're just gonna give you the body back because we have no more use for it, because they took all the organs and everything out already, and all that's left is just the outside shell. And they're like, okay, here you go, you guys can go bury it, do what you want.
So we took all the parts we needed.
They took all the parts, like take that front bumper, took the Cadillac converter off, everything.
I was like, you let somebody borrow your car, you get it back, and all your shit missing.
Yeah, what they call those? The fuck? When they took it to the junkyard and they scrapped everything.
Oh,
something shop, chop shop. Yeah.
Well, that shit apart, man. Took all the parts.
And then, you know, like, only because that there were only 11 people left of the astronauts, right? Like I was saying, like, there's no way you can fight, like, all these aliens, just, like, 650,000 of them against 11 of the astronauts. Like, what are they going to do, like, get mad over, like, the dead body of their astronaut that died naturally on the ship when they were coming over?
Yeah, it'd be different if he, like, you know, they killed his ass, but it's like, he... Which is weird, though, man, like... Here's my thing, and I was thinking about this earlier, and I'm glad I'm starting to think of it again. So he died from natural causes of a blood clot. My thing is, though, did they not perform fit? Well, I don't know. Blood clots do kind of come out of nowhere. But I'm like, I was wondering, like, did they not catch that he might be getting one before in a physical before he went on his mission? Because I'm pretty sure they didn't send no dead man on no mission. You know, they're trying to send, like, right, the healthiest and best they got on this mission, you know, and... For one to drop dead on the way there, he didn't even get to the first stage.
Right, he didn't make
he died,
it.
He died in the tutorial. So
yeah, I think with everything that was like you know how they were traveling by that spaceship. You know, a lot of them were sick most of the time because they weren't right, used to, you know, the environment and stuff. I think he got sick on board, and then for some reason his body wasn't reacting like how everybody else was.
He just gave him a blood clot.
Gave him a blood clot. Died. Okay, that could...
The aliens should have gave him the cookie before they got on. He's like, hey, pop this in your mouth here.
So, like, so McKeever, right, after they told him, like, hey, we took your boy to, like a cloning lab and they messed with him, he said, okay, you guys win. Can you guys show me this laboratory facility? So they took him on this, like, little aircraft, like Dragon Ball. They're like, hey, we're going to take you to a little, we're going to take you to a spot where we do our little human thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they got there, they said inside the building was completely white. He says there were a lot of Ebims walking around. They're all wearing blue clothing. I guess this is like laboratory clothing. When they were brought to the first lab, they said there were rows of containers that looked like glass bathtubs. And inside each bathtub were bodies, like a cloning, like, you know, how a body's in a little like Vegeta, like, you know, in a bubble tank.
Yeah.
And he was shocked, you know. He says there were like over like 700 bodies, and these don't even look like humans or whatever. He said just like strange looking bodies that's like hideous looking creatures, like you could never imagine. Like, oh, it's your nightmare, and they're just out here just taking DNA and parts from humans, animals, and they all mix it together, just trying to make shit. Like, all right, let's see what happens when we put a Chris Jesus penis on. You know, a dinosaur that we found on planet Zepetar. Let's see what happens.
Let's Frankenstein this shit up.
Yeah. And then they're like, your boy died on the spaceship? Hey, let's use that butthole for this new dinosaur that we're making.
What?
Right? That's good. So they kiss his butthole, then they chop it off. Beep. And then like, all right, let's take that liver because he's not a drinker. And we're going to make a dinosaur that drinks alcohol.
They'll make it to a party animal, literally.
Yeah, so they call this, the doctors, they call it the growing room. And this is where they use different parts from species, including parts of dead humans, to create new species. And this is when he realized, like, oh, right, this is the dark side of this civilization. So the Ebums, they thought they were, like, a humane civilization. Like, they're not so innocent. But if you think about it, right, like, on a panel like that, like, they didn't kill anything. Like, they're experimenting with stuff. Like, what is evil? Like, I think what we think is evil as human beings, like, on another planet, is probably nothing at all, right?
Oh, I mean, you're talking about as far as, like, them doing those experiments and stuff?
Yeah, like, experiments that are, like... Because you can't go into a jungle and tell a tiger, like, hey, why did you kill that... What tigers eat?
Monkeys.
Like, why'd you kill that monkey? You're so evil. Tiger's like, hey, I fucking live out here. This is how I live.
I think,
right? You can't say that's evil.
Yeah. No, this is nature. Yeah. But I mean, humans ain't got no room to talk too, man. We done some awful experiments with each other. So,
should we blow each other up?
But no, we ain't got no room to talk about shit, about what anybody else do out there. I mean,
we blown shit.
Last I checked, aliens ain't dropped no damn nuke on people. So
right?
So.
Like, they're not out here, like, changing, like, the damn atmosphere on a different parallel universe.
You know what I'm saying? It is.
Imagine, like, another Earth. They're like, hey, who turned the heat up? And it was us dropping nukes on Japan.
Right?
Other reality is like, hey, it's hot. Yeah, we're having another heat wave. But right. It was actually a nuke from another reality.
Yes, then they're feeling the effects of it, the ripple effects of it.
Turn the fan on.
You know what I'm saying? So humans ain't got nothing to talk about this inhumane. I mean, hearing this reminds me of, you ever seen, like, the last Guardians of the Galaxy movie?
Yeah.
Shit's dope, man. But the main villain's, like, the high evolutionary. He's basically, like, Frankensteining, like, not really Frankensteining, but, like, putting brains, like, he was experimenting on brains and they putting them inside of, like, animals' bodies to make them, like, highly intelligent. So, like, removing, like for example, like Rocket Raccoon, he removed his raccoon brain and then replaced it with, like, a more advanced, evolved one that he done built. And it's kind of like he experienced the thing on a different level now, and emotions and stuff, and has more personality. And, you know, how revolutionary is his whole job, especially in Marvel Comics, is like he literally just builds, like, races of creatures out of scraps. Like, he built this one creature called, like, a Tesla elephant.
Damn.
It's basically like this big elephant with, like, these glowing blue horns, these tusks.
Mm-hmm.
But it's made out of Tesla energy.
Damn.
And he's crazy. He's like Tesla energy combined with the elephant, but It's called a Tesla Fit, I think it's called. Yeah, it's something crazy.
That's wild. So, yeah. They're probably doing stuff like this on that planet, Planet Serpo.
Yes! Creating some shit that we ain't never would have thought of.
Right, because if they're able to create, like, a species where they're like, oh, right, this is, like, the superior species to do, like, a so-and-so job, right? Like, let's say for mining shit. Right. They make that species like, oh, shit, perfect. Like, this is, like, the Rolls Royce of this species that can mine a certain material on their planet. And they would take that DNA and they would make a bunch of these hideous creatures.
Hell yeah, a workforce, man.
And then send them to Earth and fuck shit up. They're like, hey, we don't like how your astronauts treated us on our planet, so we're going to get revenge. Because what we learned from you humans, you guys are emotional creatures, and we can actually feel emotions now.
And now y'all hate each other.
And it hurts what they did to us and how they think of us. They think we're these evil entities that doing bad things. They think we're bad. We'll show them bad. Because now they're influenced by these American astronauts, you know? Because Americans are so influential. They, you know, when they went to their planet, the aliens like, damn, like, that shit's rubbing off in a bad way.
Yeah, we don't like this. We don't like how this feels.
We're like, oh, shit, that shit rubbing off. I mean, now the aliens are like, I feel some kind of way now. Where's Earth at? Give me the coordinates.
I don't like how this feels.
I'm going to drop these Tesla elephants out there, and then we're going to wreck that whole place up.
Fuck all that shit up, man.
Like, and guess what? We're not going to feel nothing. Oh, no empathy.
Because ain't no telling them, like, what they've taken from Earth, man. Like, I know how they just used that one astronaut's body parts. They've probably been taking, like, whales. What was that one story where that cow got taken? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it came back down as this empty husk, but all the insides were removed.
Could have been them.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude, there's been a lot of footage, video of, like, alien spacecrafts going in the ocean. So they're saying, so now people are thinking that, I think these are not coming from outer space, they're coming from inside the ocean.
Right. I remember you said that a long time ago, too. So, like, it might not be coming from up there, it might be coming from down here. It might
be coming from in our own place, and they're in the ocean out there, like, and, you know. They might be doing a lot of experiments with a lot of these sea creatures.
Because anything that exists down there on that deep level of the ocean been around way longer than humans, man. There's some creatures out there in the ocean that that were in the ocean. I think they found, like, some of these sharks we live up to, like, for example, and this isn't even a long time. It's longer compared to us. But some of these sharks in the deeper parts of the ocean been alive for, like, 200 years. Like, easily 200 years.
For real? Like, clocked out shark?
Yeah, right. And it's like, the deeper you go, it's like, this shit even old. It might be shit even older than that down there. So it's like,
yeah, they look so old. It's like they're swimming. It looks like a piece of dust swimming because they're that old.
Right.
It's like
turtles from, like.
It's like if you blow, like, all that dust will fly apart. Teneno says not Area 51. They're blocking that area off for a reason. No, this is we're talking about another planet, Planet Serpo. But
Yeah, well, another planet, man. I think Area 51 now is just, like, not even the hot spot. I mean, like, we're made to believe that Area 51 is that spot, but it's because it's, like, it's such a close microscope up on it now, we all know it exists. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of like they removed everything out of there, but they keep the image like, yeah, we still protecting something, but it's nothing there now, I think. That's always my theory for a long time, because it's too much focus on it.
I think it's like the lobby, like the hub. Like, this is the part where people check in, but then if you're going to, like, a real place that's super secret, you go Area 51 first, and then from there you go to the real areas.
Yeah.
In whatever department you're trying to go through, because a lot of their shit runs underground.
Yeah, man, it's like at Denver Airport, like, the damn
everybody
tunnels,
knows, like, that. And they work underground. Yeah.
All underground tunnels, man.
The real shit happened beneath your little toes.
Right. On some real shit, if you're trying to be secret, you ain't gonna sit on no damn. You're not gonna be sitting in no Atlanta traffic, or, you know what I'm saying? You're gonna be trying to, like, carry it through traffic. You're trying to you bypass everybody.
Mm-hmm. All right, so back to the story a little bit. So, all right, so, like, because of the misunderstanding, like, when they were on the planet Serpo, like, their time is different there. So, the 10-year mission that they were supposed to spend on that planet, it ended up becoming like a 13-year mission. And then, you know, during that time, McKeever and his whole team, they learned a whole lot about their whole culture. He says, like, their culture, they all grew on, they grew their food hydroponically. The humans, they brought like 2 years worth of food with them, right, when they went to that planet. And then as soon as they ran out of food, they had, of course, they had to eat. They got to get accustomed to the Ebum's food. And mm-hmm. for them, like, it wasn't easy. They said everything tasted like paper and chalk. They said that they don't use money. They don't have a money system. They said everybody's required to do, like, the work, the job that they're assigned to contribute to the community. He said there was a council of governors that controlled every single activity and every minute of detail of every single one of their lives. So they basically control Ooh. Everything, like, from their jobs to their living to everything they do. You think about it, it's like a hippie community, right? Like, you don't pay for nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, if you need something, they're like, hey, I need a chair. Like, oh, we can make that for you. It's like everything mm-hmm. is, like, given to you, like food and stuff. Like, you just do your whatever your daily job, you go on about your lives. And you don't have to worry about money or nothing.
Yeah, man. Like, do your part, you get rewarded, and then you. I mean, sounds fair to me, man. You pull your weight, we'll take care of you.
Right.
If you a bum, your ass is out. Your ass is out. You can't get nothing.
Yeah, because it would put like a little speed bump in there, whatever they got going on over there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, like, we built this community so, like, everybody could just have chill lives. They probably, like, have a 3-day work week and then the rest they have it off, you know?
Oh. Beautiful.
Just hang out, chill, like travel where they can fly anywhere they want. I mean, they have the technology to do all this shit, right?
Ain't like how us humans are. It's like, yeah, I'm about to travel to, like, go see somebody in another state. They're like, I'm about to go see another galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to leave this shit. I'll be back next week.
Right. So after the 13-year mission ended, 8 of the 12 members returned. Number 308, he died on the way, and a pilot died in a vehicle crash. So 2 of them died. And then two team members, they decided to stay on Planet Serpil. And then, the remaining team members, they went back to Earth.
They must have fell in love, man.
Yeah, I was like, hey, they probably, they probably caught some feelings for these alien members.
They're like, blurk and blurk, she's beautiful, she knows how to make a mean cookie, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
She's built different.
Yeah, the Earth woman never understood me, man. I'm gonna just chill here a little bit.
Yeah, like, she understands me, like, without even saying anything. Like, everything's, like, through telepathy, like.
I'm gonna say to the mind.
Like, she knows I'm not fucking around. Like, I can't explain it, but she knows.
She knows me inside and out, man.
I'm gonna take a quick break, real quick.
All right.
I'll be right back. All right, and we're back. All right, so, okay. After they came back to Earth, after 13 years, they were quarantined and debriefed for an entire year. So, they were given new identities and a large cash bonus. 6 team members retired, and then 2 returned to active duty. Most of the team members, like, they developed an illness due to the high dose of radiation they received on the planet, and they died pretty young. So Colonel McKeever, he was the last surviving team member. He retired to Florida, and he passed away in 2002. But he left, like, was one of the most important things, like, in the legacy in human history. He left that 3,000-page report detailing every single aspect of traveling to the planet and living on an alien planet. Mm-hmm. And all this got released, like, it got leaked, like, in 2005. Somebody leaked it. They emailed it to somebody that worked in the government. They said, hey, you know, they said, I'm an employee of the government. I was in a special program, and this is everything that happened. And it was like a 130-page email detailing everything that happened in that program.
Damn.
And then, you know, people can say, like, oh, it's a made-up story. But what's crazy about this whole story, like, after he emailed, you know, like, everything, like, we talked about, like, the detailed, everything that he documented, they looked up the IP of the address from the email, and it linked back to somebody that was in, like, the Air Force. And then it was, I forgot the name of the person, but this person, he was known to be, like, somebody who spread, like, disinformation, misinformation about like the whole UFO stuff, like kind of to like lead the public in a whole bunch of different directions. Like they would make up a whole bunch of different random stories so nobody would know the true alien story. But the IP was linked up to like an official person that worked in the Air Force in the secret program. Like they had, you know, they're like, hey, your IP was leaked. So all that, it got messy. They're like, okay, are you, like if somebody was making up this story, like you guys are almost snitching on yourself.
For real, man. Shit.
Yep. It's a wild story. Imagine that, right? Like, you were one of the 12 people that went to another planet to learn a whole bunch of stuff about another civilization.
Man, and, first of all, if I went to another planet, I would question my entire existence in this universe. That's why this times where, like, I don't know, with UFOs and aliens and stuff, I get why the government may want to keep it a secret, because I think it would break most people's like sense of reality. It would destroy a lot of people's like, oh shit, we're really not alone now. Like, what does this mean? Where are we placed at in the hierarchy of the universe? Because in Earth, we seem like we have this whole hierarchy thing figured out and what's established that we set up. But in the grand scheme of things, what's the hierarchy of the universe? Are we definitely probably at the top. We can't even get space travel down right. So we definitely on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And what can we do as a society? Can we move forward to either advance or not? Do we have to work together more and try to integrate with other groups? Or like it would change so much shit. And I would go and I would not. I would definitely want to come back though. I wouldn't want to stay there forever. But I ain't falling in love with no alien lady.
But what if you did though? But then that alien lady have to be an alien dude, and he gets you.
He understands, like,
Chris is gay for aliens.
I was like, first of all, they don't believe in sex. Sex is a man-made construct. This is, it's just love there.
Imagine that they have like another form of like reaching this euphoria or whatever, but it's all done through telepathy. Like it's like the ultimate form of like getting off.
That happens like an orgasm, like just.
Yeah, but they mess with you. Like they could hit every single angle, corner, like in your head mentally. To where what do you human females can do? Like you can only do stuff like physically. Like we're getting you in every single angle mentally.
All of it, man. Like humans can like fill each other out physically, sex. Like when it comes to sex, it might be a physical thing, but
yeah,
with us, like just put a finger on the forehead, you'd be
like
boom, that's the greatest feeling. Like what?
Like you get a whole shower. Like god damn. They hit every single like atom in your body, like they get every single atom an orgasm on your body, and like how could anything compare to this?
I gotta sit down.
Like, yeah, I almost like sold myself in that shit.
Right? Where my alien man at?
Fuck around, find out and shit. Almost I got messed up. Like damn, like imagine if that shit was a thing. Like shit, they'd be like, we don't want to go back to Earth. We're gonna stay on planet Serpil. This is our planet. Now.
Tell my wife and kids I love them. Like,
yeah, give them all that money. Say I died on this this project. Give them all that money.
Tell them I died a hero.
Yeah.
Oh my god. tell them my last words where I love them.
Tell
them I
died.
All my money.
Yeah. Tell them I died a hero. And it hurts.
They wouldn't understand. Don't tell them the truth. They would never understand.
Said I died in battle.
Right.
Yeah, make it sound cool, like legacy, you know?
Right. Like, and I died in battle saving all you guys. Like.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wouldn't even. Yeah,
yeah, that's all I got for Project Serpil. Which shit, I think it happened. Like, I think maybe some of the details might be made up, but I think the whole idea of them actually traveling to another planet on an alien spacecraft to learn about another planet, I think that happened.
Hey man, I'm behind that shit.
I think it happened.
Look, right now, I think they got programs sending people to other dimensions right now. I think they open up portals and like, hey, we're going to send like a team of 8 of our finest astronauts. Like, what's that movie? Like, you ever seen that movie Annihilation?
No,
like they sent like these group of women into like this. I don't know. It was like a I don't know if it's like I can't remember. It's been a while since I only seen the movie once, but it was a while ago. But it's like they send these women through like a portal to another location, and with all these creatures, like as a team of women, like the best and brightest, and it's just it's. Bob says it was stupid. No, it wasn't. I liked it, man. It wasn't that bad, man. I need to watch it again because I was kind of like on some other shit when I was watching it.
I'd never seen it.
Yeah, but like these group of women go to like some other like parallel dimension where all these creatures exist. And I think her husband has something to do with it. Her husband's there. Some wild shit. But yeah, I feel like they're sending like astronauts like right now as we speak because that space shit I think is kind of like old hat shit. And it might be too expensive and not feasible in the long run because you got to feed people. The time length don't make sense to me for why they wouldn't invest so much in like space anymore. So I think now, especially with CERN, Hadron Collider and shit, it's like they're punching holes in reality. They're sending psychonauts through portals to other dimensions to like Planet X or some shit. And that's new travel. But they can't reveal it yet because that's so bonkers, man. Like it's, we're still trying to get our heads wrapped around
space. So like according to that movie, that thing is happening right now?
That's what I think. I think like to me, I think that's what like it's been like that for a long time. Sending like psychonauts through like dimensions instead of like other planets, because it's like because sending astronauts out to space to go to other planets, I think is like too far out there as far as like fuel and shit. So I think you know they're going to punch holes in reality using CERN or whatever. Hold on,
let me close this door.
Okay, and then we're going to send psychonauts out there, and then they're going to do explorations on other realities instead of like. Sitting in a spacecraft and experiencing zero G and messing up their bones for like forever.
Right, these brittle bones. Bob said, what's Proton saying? No, Judy just got home. That's why Proton's talking. He's like, where you been? I've been waiting.
She's like, Mom. Mom's home.
All right, next topic for the night. What else we got, right. Chris Unholy?
Yeah, I got some short stuff.
I took that whole hour up, huh? Damn.
That's good, man. That's good shit. That was right up my alley, man. Thanks, man. That was great shit.
It was. I really went in on this one.
That's good.
As far as research go.
Yeah, I appreciate the effort, man. I appreciate it. Okay. I got two short stories, and that'll be it for me. Okay, so we got Lake Lanier. So Lake Lanier, goddamn Lake Lanier. Boy, this place, these people got no respect for the dead. But Lake Lanier, they're actually building a water slide coaster in Georgia, in Margaritaville, Georgia. This is going to be the first water slide coaster ever in Georgia. They're building it, of all places, goddamn Lake Lanier. Probably the most haunted place, as far as lake-wise, in America. And for anybody who's not familiar with Lake Lanier is this lake that used to be the town of Oscarville. There's a string of events that led to black folks being ran out of town, mainly due to racism. There's a story of where a girl got accused of being raped, or there's a string of white girls that got found dead in the forest nearby, and then they blamed them on black folks in Oscarville, which in turn caused the white folks to just want to go ape shit, killed a bunch of black folks, and eventually ran people out of town. And the ones that did stay, they either killed or got locked up. But basically, Oscarville, sometime like in things like in the 40s, whenever it was, they wound up burying it underwater, which is now known as Lake Lanier. Which Lake Lanier is actually named after some damn poet. I forget his name, but he's like some poet, whatever, some Confederate poet from back during the Civil War days. They named it after him because
Roosevelt Lanier.
Huh?
Oh, nothing.
Roosevelt. Oh, the guy. You said that was the guy's name. That dude, Roosevelt.
Roosevelt.
I forget the guy's name, but he's like some kind of like Confederate. I don't know if he's like a Confederate soldier, but he's like a poet within the Confederacy. And basically, he was a guy that they named it after him because it's the South, and they named everything after the Confederates for obvious reasons. And so the town, like when they buried the town underneath the water, they basically it's a drowned town, which is like 400 in America of like black towns where black folks got ran out of and murdered and shit, and it completely destroyed their lives. And they buried it underneath the water, and the term is referred to as drowned towns, where it is like, you know, we don't feel like tearing down all these buildings, so we're gonna just like build around it and then just drown it underneath water. And Lake Lanier is one of the most popular ones, most infamous ones. And so Oscarville is underneath the water. The school is still built. The church is still built. And there's still graveyards down there. Because they didn't even remove the bodies out of the graveyards of Oscarville.
Did they remove all of them? But I heard they did move the bodies from the gravesites to like another site before they flooded the lake.
Nah, there's still bodies down there. That's actually still, because they, just to be sure too, I was looking it up last night too. There's still bodies in the graves down there, and then for some reason, well, not for some reason, they're saying that the reason why Lake Lanier can be extremely hazardous as well too is because the bodies down there that have been in those graves, they decay. Toxins, stuff like that, bile, whatever can leak to the ground. You know what I'm saying? And so the water's not even really that. It kind of violates a lot of health code policies. They got buildings still down there. They still got churches. They still got schools. The places like Lake Lanier is actually very disgusting on a on a hazardous level. And so instead of actually doing the right thing and closing off that lake and probably undrowning it. Because they made it to a reservoir for Atlanta. The reason why it was really originally built is because Atlanta need water. And they was like, okay, well, we need a reservoir. How about this black town that's abandoned? How about that we ran everybody out of? Sure, why not? Let's build a reservoir. So they basically just drowned a town that was already abandoned. And so now the legend goes is that a lot of them black folks that was murdered there when Oscarville was, when they got ran out of Oscarville, they're dragging everyone down there now that swims in it. The ancestors are vengeful.
You're saying the ghosts in this lake is dragging real humans down to kill them?
To kill them, yes. Mm. Everybody that gets in that lake. And so that's the story of Oscarville and Lake Lanier. And so instead of Georgia like trying to do the right thing, they decided to double down on their stupidity and build a fucking water coaster there now. I was like, hey, you know what? Because look. I looked this up the other day, and they said, like, between the opening of Lake Lanier, 1941, I think it was, or somewhere in that time frame. When was it? 1950s?
It's like 600 drownings, right?
Yeah, like 500 or 600 drownings. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we're going to double down on it and build this water coaster. So we'll give you another 600 more people.
Yeah, the wild thing is, like,
Lake Lanier.
Like, this is a lake. This is a man-made lake, and the amount of people dying at this lake, it doesn't make sense. Like how much it's people insane. Were dying like in this lake by drowning or by an accident. And then even like till this day, people are saying like the reason why these people are dying is because like they would get drunk like during holidays and then they would go on their boat drunk and then they would jump in the river and then they would just die. But then like come on, there's other lakes in the whole like U.S. where they all do the same partying, right? But Lake Lanier happens to be... Time. They happen to be notorious for people dying at this lake. Even not even like holidays. There's like there's weird stories where like there's a jogger that would jog on the trail, right? And then next thing you know, she's missing. And then they found her in the lake and she was in her jogging outfit. And like,
right. What that even doesn't in make the water, sense. Man.
Like, I don't think she was even trying to get in the lake. And then there's other stories like where like a kid, he was drowning in the water, right? And then, off-duty police officer jumps in to save the kid, but then the officer ends up drowning. And they're like, it's a lake. Like, what's happening? Like, why did the officer drown? Isn't he... I'm pretty sure if you jump in a lake to save somebody, you know how to swim strong.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so. I mean, there's people that just, like, out of reaction, like, well, I gotta save him, and then realize, oh, shit, I can't swim either.
I wouldn't do that.
What they say, like, a lot of times... Hell no, and I'm not even that great of a swimmer. Yep. I know how to keep myself afloat, but I can't save nobody else.
Right, but I can't save nobody. I'll jump in there and just be like, I can float while you're dying.
Yeah, we both dead.
Yeah, I was like, I can't save you, but I can show you I know how to float.
Yeah, they say like a lot of times when people swim out to water, the reason why the person that's trying to rescue the person drowns with them is because the person is like swinging and flailing, and then they try to swim and do all that. That's what they say sometimes. It's best to knock them upside the head and knock them out and then fucking swim them to the shore because they panicking, they wearing you out because you're trying to grab them. It's a mess. And then y'all both wind up dying. And
damn.
Yeah, Lake Lanier ain't no stranger to that, man. There was a guy last year. I remember the crazy story I heard was like some years ago, a boat blew up in Lake Lanier. Exploded, killed everybody on the boat. It's like some
like some Ozark shit.
You know what I'm saying? Like some Ozark shit. Fucking boat just exploded.
Dynamite.
And then last summer there was a guy that died whose family actually had a house on the lake. And I remember I talked about it on the podcast too, where he jumped in the water and he got electrocuted. He fucking got shot.
That's Ozark shit.
And he sunk into the water and he drowned and obviously died. But the reason why I'm saying like, well, a couple days prior, prior before that, he jumped in the water. His family that had just built a new like a wiring setup for the lights they had on their dock to their boats in their backyard.
That's cute.
That's some next level rich.
Right.
Yeah, and so I guess one of the wires got loose and fell into the water. So whoever jumped in that water in that area will get electrocuted in.
They got all.
Some Final Destination
they got all
shit.
Of those voltage. Yeah, that's like
all that, man. Some Final Destination shit. And so instead of actually, you know, having respect for the dead, George is like, yeah, let's build a fucking water slide. And they're building a massive one, man. This ain't this blockbuster's tower of slides featuring George's first water slide coaster is an epic addition to Margaritaville at Lanier Island. And they're going to hold this shit is actually starting May 4th, man. It's coming up,
man. I'm down to go if you guys are down to go.
Oh no, I don't even want to drive past it.
Because like, what?
I'm horrified.
What's the ghost gonna do? Choke you out in a slide?
Yes. Oh, so you hit that water. You hit that water. You're like, oh, sure.
You're mine now, boy.
Grabbing you, man. I'm good on that, man.
You're mine now, yellow man.
Bob says, they need more contributions. That's what I'm saying, man. I'm like, are they trying to feed people to this entity? Like, to the ancestors? What are they trying to do? That's what they're doing right now. Like, y'all have already had 600. It's like, is the spirits are saying, like, hey, we need more. Like, okay, we'll give you more. We'll give you as much as you want. We'll build a slide that basically feeds you.
Yeah, they convinced somebody to build a whole little, tiny little theme park on top of, like, the most haunted lake, I would think, in the world, maybe.
Man, infamously haunted, man. More and more people, like, it was always, like, we've talked about Lake Lanier for years on this podcast. It popped up in conversations every now and again. But now, more and more people outside of Georgia are starting to learn, like, hey, man, this place is haunted. Like, yeah, this is old shit for Georgia. Dude, we've all known this.
Speaking of, like, people from the outside knowing, like, the day, like, you were out, right? Rojam, he said he was in Atlanta, like, he had, like, what do you call it? A layover, right? In Atlanta?
Yeah.
And then he was like, yeah, I was like, I'm in Atlanta right now, staying away from Lake Lanier. And, you know, he's not from Georgia, but he knows about Lake Lanier from.
Word spreading, man. It's becoming more and more infamous, man.
Yeah. I mean, but there's a movie. There's Georgia a Lake forever. Lanier movie out right now.
Yeah, it's on Amazon, I think it's on Amazon.
I haven't watched it. It looks boring, but we have to watch it.
For the culture.
Like, yeah.
For Georgia, man.
We have to watch it. Bob says the end of the slide leads into the lake.
Dude, they're feeding them, man. I'm like, what? When I saw the news, I was like,
you?
When I first heard about this.
Somebody's grandma at the edge. Oh, no. Go ahead.
No, like, when I first heard about it, I was like, sacrificial shit? This is like some kind of like weird cult. Like, what are y'all doing? Like, oh no, man. This sounds like some weird cult, like we gotta feed the elder gods type shit.
Yeah, maybe they were forced to build it for them. They're like, all right, we want you to build a slide, get more kids there, because we want to eat more.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Well, it's not a weird thing. But honestly, like, besides the supernatural side to it, I do see it as a completely disrespectful thing to do to the lives that were destroyed there, to the homes that were built, to the society that was built there. And for them to be like, okay, let's build a... It was bad enough they drowned the town and destroyed the... Because those people that lost those towns, they was never able to get like their footing again. They lost businesses. It was all like black businesses. And there's a black community that, you know, got completely destroyed. And instead of doing right by, it's like, okay, let's build a lake on top of it. Now I was like, okay, let's build a fucking amusement park type shit on it. Let's build a massive water coaster. It's like, okay, y'all greed is reaching the level of like, where does respect and greed end? Like, what is this? Y'all, this is bad to me. This is disrespectful in a lot of ways. And also very horrifying that I ain't going to that shit. I mean, I don't live there anymore anyway, but I wouldn't go even if I did.
I say we go as a group.
Bob, you down? I don't even want to sit on the shore and wait. I'm good.
I want to feel would that cold lake water.
Yeah, that's that.
I'm going to give a little kiss. Like, and then they fucking drag my head down like, this motherfucker Chinese Ching Chong. Like, goddamn, I'm not Chinese. Bloop, 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 bloop.
Last word.
Bloop, 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 bloop. That's racist. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Racist ass ghost.
Bob says, no, exactly. I'm good on that, man.
Here's my idea, right?
She said Germany's the only swimmer.
Here's my idea. We go to Lake Lanier, right? But we go there like around 6 o'clock towards night. And then we play Ouija board, right?
Uh-oh.
And then we dip our toes into the lake.
You'll see like a little baby hand come out, touch your toe.
Yeah, we're going to go. We're going to go all out. And we're not going to film nothing, so no one's going to know nothing.
We're going to wait to after closing hours. Like,
We're not doing it for no clout, no nothing. We're just going to be like, do or die. Let's find out what's happening at this lake.
Let's see what it's all about.
Bob says toes get chopped off. Nah. I don't think they got access to sharp objects. I think they're just going to pull us off. Like,
but that's it for that story. I got nothing else about it. It's a new park. I forgot the name of it. I think it's called like Fins Up Water Park or some shit.
Fins Up Lake Lanier.
All right. Sacrificial Lake Lanier. That's what's going to happen. And then last story I got, another short one. So this man got locked up. He was walking down the street of Wasco, California. I think that's the name of it. Wasco, California. Yeah. There's a guy walking down the street the other day. There's a video footage of it I saw. Walking down the street, chewing on a leg like it was a piece of fucking ham. Just walking down the street, chewing on it. And some guy was recording with his cell phone. And what happened was like nearby, there was a train that collided with a car and killed a person, completely obliterated the car.
Damn.
And so the cops went up, like, you know, they established a crime scene and you know, yellow tape up and everything. And this random dude was walking down the street. I don't know if he was like looking for to eat somebody or whatever, but he went to the crime scene, grabbed a dismembered leg because the body got obliterated by the train, grabbed a leg, and then started walking down the street. The leg just flapping around, and then he kneels over and starts like just eating it. And somebody's recording it, some Latino person. They speaking in Spanish, you know, whatever. And they recording it, and they're like, oh, shit, like, this is eating a leg. And the guy like looks up, he like wipes the blood off his face. Now, it's not super duper close, but it's far enough where you see the leg, and he's like,
You saw it, right?
Yes. Yeah, you know I did.
Well, like, what does it look like? Does it look like he's like a zombie, like, or like, does he look like he's really intoxicated?
Yeah, he look like he might be homeless or something. Yeah, he don't like no everyday, you know, 9 to 5, you know, person.
But did he look like out of it? You know, like.
Yeah, and he looks like out of it. At first, I was like, is he on drugs or something? Or
so he looks like he's under drugs. Okay.
Yeah, or homeless. He got some mental. Definitely, like he got some mental shit. If anything else. He got some mental issues because he eating the leg. So, like, somebody was recording it. He, like, bent down, started eating on the leg, eating it, and then wipes the blood off his face. Ew. Keeps walking. He's walking. The leg is flopping around like some, like, whatever the hell it is, like rubber. It looked like rubber just swinging around. And then when the cops show up, he holds his arms up, still holding the leg. So, the leg's, like, flopping. He holds his arms up like, oh, the cops are here. And then hold the leg, and then that's the end of the video.
Wait, what was the place again?
Wasco, California.
Spelled Wasco, where is that?
WASCO. I have no idea.
Fuck, that's crazy. And you saw the real footage of this dude eating somebody's leg.
Yeah. It says his name's
Where did you watch it, though, by the way?
Twitter, man. Twitter's like fucking insane. Twitter's like off the rails, man.
You know, it's Elon is trying to like ban all that shit.
Ban Twitter stuff?
Yeah, like stuff like that. Well, the first one is
wow, man. Twitter's like off the chain.
He said he's trying to ban like porn off of Twitter. I didn't even know Twitter has porn, but he's trying to ban that from Twitter.
Out of like all the social media stuff between like IG, you know, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter's more like Twitter's just whatever the hell goes.
Yeah, it's like the Wild Wild West.
Dude, man, like anything, like anything goes with Play-Doh.
How does that like come on your feed though? They're like, all right, Chris loves shit like this. I'm going to send it to him.
It's probably like, oh, Chris just watched a man set himself on fire. Let's see if he likes a man.
He might like this guy eating somebody's leg.
I don't know. But yeah, he's like, and he was 27. When I didn't even realize this. He was a 27-year-old named Rosendo Tellez. He's arrested near the Amtrak station. Yeah, and he's like, he's walking down the street. They said they gave him a misdemeanor charge.
A misdemeanor charge? Human
body part. Yeah.
Because he didn't kill the dude, right? You said he got hit by a train or some shit?
Yeah, good guy. That person got hit by a train. It is a misdemeanor. He didn't murder nobody. But they need to check this guy out and see.
That's crazy. Like, somebody gets hit by a train, a dead body, and then conveniently there was somebody that was on drugs enough to just pick up a leg and start eating it.
Yo, like he's like walking out, she's like, oh, a leg. Oh shit.
That's too random, man. That's like
and then he walks away from the crime scene, walking down the street, still eating the leg. Everybody's like, what the
fuck? That might be a movie, dude. We just not. You know, we just don't know yet.
This sounds like.
I think we just don't know yet. It might be a movie.
Oh, it was actually a film. Like they was filming a movie.
Yeah, it's just we just don't know. They just want it to be like the most natural thing, you know.
Yeah, it went off the rails. Bob says inflation. I guess that's why he's eating the leg. I don't know. McDonald's ain't that expensive.
I wouldn't resort to eating somebody's leg. I wouldn't even resort to eating like a damn roadkill. Come on.
It's crazy, man. He's holding a leg by the ankle too.
Damn.
Fucking crazy. It's crazy as shit. It was. Man, what the hell be on my damn the algorithms be on me, man. Like, hey, we know Chris will like this fucked up shit. But
don't act surprised.
I saw the video
that
I'm
looking
up.
Yeah.
Know what you say?
You know what's where why they're serving you. They know. They know you like that stuff, Chris.
I don't like it. It's just kinda like morbid curiosity. I'm like, what the fuck?
We know what you like, Chris. Put the peanut butter away. Put the peanut butter away.
Peanut butter on apples. We know. Slice apples.
We know what you like.
Nah, man. But nah, it's crazy shit, man. I was like, it remind me of the damn that Florida man, the one that was on that bath salts that ate the dude's face off.
Or that's Flocka, what it whatever the fuck it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
awful. Yeah. That shit's crazy, man.
That man was chewing his face off. And he lived too. The guy that got his face ate off, he lived.
But not the same no more. Not the same man.
Nah, he's completely different now. But yeah, that's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of that shit. Just like some bizarre, random shit. We're like, what the fuck is this? Like patient zero? Like who?
Shit, like if something like that is happening now, like you would think like the whole world is going through the same shit. There's no way. It's like we're like receiving like maybe a small dose of it, but like let's say other countries they're receiving the full dose of these people acting like strange like this, where they pick up dead bodies or they go dig up graves and start eating like dead bodies and stuff, right?
Yeah, man.
Like who knows what's going on in other countries? Like we're just getting like a small like a drip of the craziness, but meanwhile, on the other side of the planet.
It's bonkers.
Everybody they're bringing people back to life. There's like somebody's grandma just fucking shaking in her grave, like literally shaking in her grave. And she's like, stop poking me. They're poking her with a stick. I seen a video of that. I was like, is this real? This costume? Like, what's going on? Why are you poking somebody's grandma?
Please stop.
Grandma's like, stop it, mijo. Ouch.
Oh, stop.
Stop poking me. I'm trying to die.
Yeah, but that's all I get for a zombie man. That was bizarre.
All right, that was good. This is a good episode.
Yeah, man, good shit.
All right, guys. Next Saturday, we're doing next Saturday again?
Hell yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you guys for joining us for this episode 176. If you guys like this episode and you made it this far, give us 5, 6, 7, 10 stars. Please leave us a comment.
Hell yeah.
We'll see you guys next week. Peace out. Adios.
See you, fam.